The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Amen. Amen. So good to hear all these testimonies. So good. So good. I heard a testimony in the first service. Somebody had a head-on collision last month. He came out alive. It's just so. Well, thank God for God's protection over our lives. We are seeing clearly Psalm 91 manifested. Somebody shared the testimony with me and said, I saw a scorpion in my house yesterday night. Big. And that person shared the testimony. The 21 days fasting is just causing a lot of issues. And that's why I said, we will be part of it. We men must be part of it. Whether you like it or not, you drive us, we are there. I've been here from the beginning. Even when they were breaking it on Friday, I was here. I was tired, even a little bit sleepy, but I was here. You will never collect it alone. We are here. Amen. Men, can you say amen? Can you say amen? I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'll follow. Amen. I encourage every man. There's a prayer manual there. Get it. The message goes along with it. There are some things you need to go to God as a judge, not as a father, not as a friend, but as a judge. There are three realms of prayer. Realm you go to him as a father. The realm you go to him as a friend for intercession. Father for provision. Friend as for intercession. Judge when there's a long-lasting problem, so that you get a verdict. Nations don't go to war until they go to court. Nations don't go to war. Before there was the civil war, there was the Aburi Accord. There must be so. You don't go to war without negotiation. And so you must go to the courts. And the courts of heaven is where the justice is. I know what the throne of God is established in righteousness and justice. And that's why I'm very intentional when it comes to prayer. Not the type of prayer you pray, because I don't pray for victory. I'm already victorious there. I pray from victory. Not trying to, and I don't allow the enemy to dictate my prayer point. Because if I respond to him because he attacked, then he's now controlling my prayer life. And I believe that we're in a season of deep intercession. When we begin to hit me, since we just completed 5 years of the Open Heavens prayer, and that was when God began to move to us, say, I want you to establish this prayer. And I feel that we have gotten into this season where many of us need to abandon. Some of you are just fasting now. You have never fasted like this before in your life. In fact, when they call for fast before, you will eat very well. But now nobody's monitoring you. And I don't like monitoring people, but there's just this burden that comes upon you that you forget you have eaten, you have not eaten. And it's even happening to me. Because two things I don't really like, really. But I must do it. Fasting and all night. I know you people don't like it too. That's just not it. But it doesn't matter whether you don't like it. Huh? It's necessary for you. In fact, in Psalm 134, it said there's a blessing for those that pray at night. So, I don't like it, but I will do it. Because it's good for my soul. It's good for my spirit, man. I must fast to kill my flesh so that I can hear well. Because I will come into a situation sometimes where I need that faith to move through. And this kind of unbelief cannot go except by praying and fasting. The reason why people don't see things working well in their life, when they see only obstacles, is because they are too earthly. Amen. Let's go to where. Welcome. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. You're not excited. I know you don't. You're not excited. But if they say it's up to you, but you see, without this day, and it was instituted after a 10 days intense prayer meeting in the upper room. Jesus resurrected, stayed with the disciples for 40 days, and said, wait for me, and you'll be endued with power. It's called also the Feast of Shavuot, the Hebrew name. The Feast of Shavuot it coincides with the time where God gave them the Ten Commandments, the law, at the Mount. And they said, no, we don't want to hear you. That was a shadow. 50 days after they crossed the Red Sea, he came and he gave them the law, written on tablets. But you see, now the Holy Spirit comes into our heart to write it in our hearts. And that's why I say, I will give you a new covenant. Not the one written on tables, but the one written on your heart. You know what is bad, really. Nobody needs to tell you. You know. The only thing is that you are trying to kill your conscience. But you see, three feasts that God said, and it's called the Feast of the Lord, three of them. He said, don't come before me, come intentionally. Jesus, in his lifetime, attended this feast, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost was when he said, out of your belly, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. That was the Feast of Pentecost there. And he was born in the Feast of Tabernacles. And he tabernacled amongst us. And the Passover was the feast he did as he was about to go. And said, because he is the ultimate Passover lamb. He's the high priest. He's the Passover lamb. In everyone, he fulfilled all. And 10 days prayer, intense prayer meeting. And the rest for the church is history. Nobody can stop the church. Nobody. Nobody can stop the body of Christ. We may have issues, but we are moving on. Jesus will clean up his bride as we stay in that place. And so I welcome you to a new season. A new season of upgrading your prayer life, in your study life, in everything that pertains to you. And I believe we should ride on this wave. It's a season of intense fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're still on our series, Rediscovering Spiritual Intelligence. The greatest search engine on the face of the earth is not Google. It's the Holy Spirit. It searches all things, yet the deep things of God. The problem is that we have not learned how to walk with Him. Jesus demonstrated to us what it means to walk with Him. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 4, I'm going to read some scriptures, and we'll talk what God is laying in my heart to share with you. And I believe that people will begin to walk in spiritual intelligence. It doesn't matter doesn't matter your inclination. Because I believe that it's time where the church will start walking tridimensionally. The people know about IQ, people know about EQ, they found EQ recently. But what they have not discovered is SQ or SI, which is spiritual intelligence. And that is the dimension you are supposed to walk. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has asked. It is written. But enough said in verse 10, but God has revealed to us. In other words, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the mind of Christ is for those who do not know Him. But for us, we have the mind of Christ. And we are supposed to be solving problem at that realm. You can't solve a problem at the realm it was created. There must be people that will understand the mysteries of God, the wisdom of God, and begin to train themselves as a release. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and we were all suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. When this whole thing happened, there was commotion in the land. People were asking something, what is going on here? Many people gathered. But Peter, in verse 14, Peter again. Peter has a way of saying everything. There was one time Peter even rebuked God. I was advising him that this thing you are saying is not godly. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Are there people drunk before 9? But let's go ahead. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what was spoken by prophet Joel. I began to explain to them. And you know the funniest thing? When I read this Bible and I read what happened in the upper room and what Joel said, it's not the same thing. But when he said it, God says, okay. Go and read it. He said, poor man. But when Joel was saying there was no sound, there was no light, there was no tongue of fire, there was no speaking of tongues. But God said, you know what? That's a synonym. Very important. Just is similar. And does it. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 to 14. He said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. In Acts chapter 3, something happened. A man that was lame, who has been at the gate of Beautiful, was healed as they were going for the afternoon prayer by 3 p.m. And there was commotion. And Peter and John were arrested for healing. I don't know what went on that time. You might say, but it's still going on this time. Yeah, it's still going on this time. But you see, then Peter, and so they were arrested, they were harassed, and Peter again stood up. Something is happening to Peter here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if you have been called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a crippled, and I asked how he was healed, then know this, that you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage, that means courage can be seen. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. Verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Nobody can argue with evidence. They might call you stupid, but when they bring your exam papers, they cannot understand. They might call you stupid, but they look at the testimony that comes out of your life. It doesn't match. And that's how it's supposed to be. That you yourself, it doesn't match. What you are producing and what they see about you does not match. And that's what we are supposed to be producing. And that's that realm we are supposed to stay. And you have no apology because you are the host of God. Okay. You are the body that hosts the virus called God. God is sovereign, is big. Like I say, God is not in heaven, but heaven is in God. And people say, what are you saying? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Where was God before heaven came? But God chose to live inside of you. You are too big. If you understand who you are, the enemy will be afraid of you. You are the host. Let me put it again. You are the house of God. The way I'm saying it, some people are saying a house. No. You cannot be heavenly conscious and earthly useless. You can be religiously conscious and earthly useless. It's okay. But that you are heavenly conscious, Jesus said, I can of my own do nothing. Because he said that he was heavenly conscious and people marveled what was happening around him. So that statement that people are heavenly conscious and earthly useless is not a good statement. It is not right. It is wrong. You can't be heavenly conscious and earthly useless. No. You must bring solution from another realm. Today I want to talk about time tapping into the mind of Christ. Tapping into the mind of Christ. We need to understand that I have the capacity to tap into the mind of Christ. I need to understand that even if I meet a situation or a challenge, that situation of challenge cannot be bigger than God, and I host God. All I need to do is to understand, if Jesus comes and meet 5,000 men beside women and children and 5 loaves of bread, what will he do at this situation? If I have rent to pay or I have bills to take care of, and Jesus had bills to take care of, what did he do? He didn't panic. He didn't struggle. He didn't go around raising funds or trying to harass people to give him money. He understood that God has made a provision for him before he showed up. All he needed to do is that, how has God provided for it? Am I making myself clear? The way Jesus tapped into financial realm for every situation is different. Different. And the thing is that it was met. The way Jesus healed people, he never healed two blind people the same way. That means that there are different ways to do healing. He can put mud. Just imagine, you say, I should pray for you. I bring my spit, I turn it to mud, and put it. Will you agree? The black man does not have a problem with it because he's not even seen in the first place. So, and you know, the solutions of God are foolishness to man. And that's why for you to operate in this kingdom, you must be foolish. But the type of your foolishness is higher than any earthly wisdom. It's higher. And so, we must understand, and I got this quote from my wife. Jesus is the pattern son. When good tailors are sewing, they have a pattern. They do what is called pattern cutting. And that means that for that pattern, they use it for others. Jesus came to demonstrate how a believer is supposed to live on earth. He came to demonstrate it. Was born into a poor family, but his background did not determine his future. His background did not determine whether his assignment will be fulfilled or not. He understood that my earthly father may not have, in quote, what I have. I came out from these people because they carried the DNA to bring me here. But my ultimate father is God, and I know how to access resources and abundant resources from him. That's why I tell fathers, the thing you can impart to your children, one of the things you can impart to them is that they have access to abundance. They have access to unlimited resources. So when your child tells you, buy me ice cream, there's no need to slap him and say, shut up. Is it your maid that leaves ice cream? There's no money. No. Tell them, as the Lord provides, we'll give you the ice cream. Because you yourself, you go to him and say, our father. Nobody goes to God and say, grandfather. Because nobody has Holy Spirit Junior living on the inside of him. Everybody has Holy Spirit. And Jesus demonstrated how to live on heaven on earth. To live heaven to, from heaven to earth. I tell people, if you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. If you believe like Jesus, you bring heaven to earth. Because there's a way Jesus believed, that he gets into a situation and things that it was not working well begin to work well. He was so profound at it that the disciple watched him and they told him, teach us to pray. Because we want to get this result. And so we want to talk about things, about tapping it, and I want to show you four things. How do I tap into the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ, so that I operate as Jesus operated on the face of the earth. Now I must tell people this. When all the people who were sick came to Jesus, Jesus did not return anyone home and said, your faith did not make you well. How many of you know that? People that had faith, people that did not have faith were healed. The Bible says all that came to him were healed. That it doesn't mean that I've started to experience that. I may pray for five people, one may die. Two may live, two others maybe. I won't develop a theology that says that, you know, God knows, he can heal somebody, does not heal somebody. No, the standard is that all we heal, that's the standard. My experience is that some came, were not well, some went home well, some went home dead. But my own is to take Jesus aside. When they could not cast out the demon, they didn't say, no. They took him aside. They saw him cast the demon and they took him aside. I have every right to question God when things are not working the way so he said it should work, to call him aside and ask him questions. Why was this person not well? Not to put shame on that person and say, go away, you don't have faith. That's why you are not well. No, I don't do that. What I say is that I go back to my prayer closet and ask him questions and say, what is going on? You said all that should come, all that will come will be well. And you even told me that greater things I will do than you did. That means that if you heal one blind man, I should be healing multiple of blind men. So I will keep my theology that all will be well. Am I experiencing all well? No, I'm not experiencing it. But I won't reduce God's standards to my experience. My experience constantly must be an upgrade. I will upgrade my experience constantly to where all will come and they will be well. We come for a service like this and they are well. We meet people on the street, they are well. Am I making sense? And that is the standard we'll pursue. But the first thing I must say is to believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ. For you to tap into the mind of Christ, there must be a belief, a solid belief. It's not the one that you use your mouth to say, I believe. No. That you believe in Jesus should go away from your head to, it must move to your heart. It must grip every facet of your life. The reason why I know why people don't believe, that when they say, I'm a Christian, they don't believe, is when they have problem, then you know where they believe. Do you know that most times I used to be a practical atheist? You won't confess that you're an atheist, but you practice their ways. When an atheist has financial problem, he doesn't call on God. Does he call on God? He doesn't call on God. He uses every resources available to him. He calls his friend, he uses business contact and everything, and he gets the thing done and it's done. How many Christians behave like that too? Even some Christians will ask you, use your head. It's not everything, you disturb God. Yes, he says, it's not everything. Are you not working? Go and use your money and buy it. Imagine me coming home today and say, let's have the curry, let's come and have lunch. Say, I have money. I say, which money? Say, the money you have been giving me, I've gone out to take myself out. The next day. Let's eat. He say, no, I have money. Who gave you? Say, you. I've taken myself. No child behaves like that. Even if you give a child money, he will keep the money. I say, mommy, give me your own. Daddy, I'm telling you. The only problem is that we don't believe. We have now become adults of God. We are not even coaching God. I say, God, let me teach you sense. This is Nigeria. This is not heaven. We need to start believing in him. And it shows in how. It shows in how we carry ourselves. It shows that we solve problems. To show how I believe in him. It doesn't matter what is going on. I believe in him. He's going to solve my problem. He's going to give me a child. He's going to give me a breakthrough. Whether I'm experiencing it does not mean anything. I don't need to go helter-skelter. I will stay put and even dig my root down. You know, when palm trees, that's why palm trees produce in and out of season. In dry season, they don't go down. All they do is that they keep on developing tap roots to go to where water is. The more there is drought, the more they go down. The more there is drought, the more they go down. And he likens us as palm fruit. The more there's problem around me, the more I go deep in him. The Bible says, by faith, Acts chapter 3, verse 16, after the crippled man was healed, Apostle Paul was saying to them, he said, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. So it's not me. It's the faith I have in him. That I said in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name, every knee shall bow. Listen to me, at the mention of the name of Jesus, the problem facing our city, your family, shall bow. I'm telling you, it's not this, it's that solid belief in him, that thing that will go. So, you know what, when I read scriptures, I pray in tongues, I worship to take the scriptures from my own head into my heart. For out of the heart flows the issues of life. What will come out of me when I have problem is actually what is in my heart. It's not what is in my head. We can quote scripture. I can tell you, my God shall supply all. You can start jumping. All your need according. Someone say, according. It's good. I like such preaching. It's motivating. But the problem is that when you don't have food, how do you behave? Do you believe that he provides for the birds? It's what you actually do when you have problem shows what you believe. And as long as you don't believe in him, that tapping into his mind is not there. You close heaven over you. Every believer is supposed to operate under open heavens. Every believer. What closes heaven over you is not the devil, it's not anybody, your father, your witches and wizards in your village. Your closed heaven is between your two ears. The way you think. The next thing is fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Fellowshipping the Holy Spirit, let me try to break it down, because sometimes we say big word. You know my brothers, you need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And my brothers are saying, what's fellowship with the Holy Spirit? They won't ask us questions. They'll go and say, yeah, Pastor, yeah. Fellowship, say, yeah, fellowship, yeah. No, fellowship with the Holy Spirit is talking with him. and on small matters first. Many of us, when we have ogbonge problem, that's when we ask him. All those small matters, you don't ask him. So you don't even know his voice. When he talks to you, you won't even hear. How many of you ask God what to wear this morning? Raise up your hand. Some of you say, use your brain now. You get plenty, God, take anyone. No. No. You see, that's fellowship with the Holy Spirit, talking to him on a daily basis. What will I wear today? What will you have me to wear? And so he just tells you, I want you to wear native. I say, no. Today is casual in this thing. We need, no, you say, I want you to wear complete suit. Say, no, today is casual. You are even telling your Holy Spirit. And unknown to you, you are going to have a business meeting that day. Nobody called it. It's not normal. He said, this is what I want you to wear. You get to the office. The MD wants to go out. He looks at everybody on casual and he's going for a business meeting. He has a suit with him and he calls you to go. You are the least person in the office because you are well positioned for the meeting. How do I know this? Because when the Holy Spirit was released, first of all, in the Old Testament, it was for creativity. He came upon Bezalel and he established the tabernacle. He even told him the type of dress for the high priest and other priests. Who is the priest of God? Oh, who is the priest of God? No, you see now, I told you you don't believe scripture. The Bible says you are a royal. You are the priest of God. That means that you can't afford to dress anyhow. Just be going to the junction, you carry rubber slippers with boxers. No, that's not how to do it. Say, not be here, I won't buy a car. Then that's the date somebody who you have submitted a proposal for. Then you are wondering, oh, every devil against my progress. Every devil. Listen. And these are the mundane things. Some of you have not even asked him, what will I eat today? What will he have me to eat? There is a way you will have your disposition in terms of your attitude or something is going on that you want to eat food. He'll tell you, no, this food, if you eat it, is poison now. But this is beans, curry, heavy cold water and milk and sugar to match. And when you turn this thing, you have scattered some things inside the beans. And you know some of you like a war like this. And everything look fine. As you want to take one, we say no, drop it. You will even bind God. Is that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? What will I wear today? What will I do today? How will I talk to my wife? My wife is having issues with me. It says I don't know how to talk to her. Give me a language to say to her. Give me a language to say to my husband. These are specific things. My child is not having. Your marriage is unique. Your parenting is unique. There are general principles for everything. But they are unique principles to you. Why? You are different from me. And all of us have access. So that fellowship with him, that fellowship constantly, you are asking questions. You read the Bible and you drop it down and say, what did you say about this? Because the Bible is the only book you read with the author. The Bible says in John 16:12-15, he said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. God is bigger than his book. He gave us the Bible, the scriptures, and also gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit is the one that searches all things, hear the deep things of God. Is the one that can tell you. You know, sometimes you are praying, you are speaking in tongues, you are worshiping, and all of a sudden you hear a voice, call your mother. How many of you have done that? They've come to you. You hear a voice, this is what you need to do. At that point in time, before, I used to bind devil. Say, it's not the time to tell me what to wear. I don't know about you, I see what to wear. He just tells me, I want to wear this. I want you to. I don't know, it may be carnal to you, Abby. It's very carnal. To some people, it's very carnal. Listen, I am supernatural. Everything I do, including eating and drinking, is supernatural. I'm a spirit. Spirit Spirit do spirit things. The way I walk is spiritual. The way I laugh is spiritual. My shadow is spiritual. Everything. I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm spiritual. Am I making sense? And so that fellowship, I need to ask him a question. What will I do with my wife today? And you know, some of you are married. You have not asked yourself. You are always complaining. My husband wants sex and everything. He doesn't know I'm tired. You have not asked the Holy Spirit that gives strength. Oh, you don't know? That's the problem with religious people. They are utterly useless. The guy that created, he was the one that created it, not Playboy magazine. He created this thing that we are saying you are doing it from the beginning, say multiply. It was in his heart before he created you. For you to have sex. Because the way I'm talking, I say, Pastor, keep quiet. Just go. But I will keep on. So I need to ask him, Holy Spirit, my husband is touching me now. And I'm not in the mood. The Holy Spirit can set you in the mood. Okay, let me leave there. It's about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's to ask him questions. These are little questions. So that when you come into the hard question, you now know his voice. You now know his voice. Five men are attacking you now. You are confused. Lord. Lord. You see, have you prayed? Say God is not speaking. Why will he not speak? He's speaking every time, including now. The only thing is that you don't know the channel to turn to. Next one is fellowshipping with other believers. Listen, Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter oh, is it one? Yeah. Verse 9, eye has not seen, ears has not heard. At the end of that scripture, he said, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Not I have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We, not you. You see, the whole world talks about being independent. So what are you doing? I say, I'm doing my own thing. You know, many young people want to do their thing. Even some TED Talk has told you that ideas do not come from one person. It's a collective thing. Most of these inventions came together because people came together and started thinking about it. And from that discussion, they brought it. The reason why many of us, and people that are telling you this, they are not behaving like that. The reason why many entrepreneurs in Nigeria are not making waves, are not going, because they want to do their own thing. And when you do your own thing, you must have your own staff who also want to do their own thing. Can I say something to you? Not all of us will be entrepreneurs having their own thing. You can be an entrepreneur having somebody's thing. You can. And so, we have the mind of Christ. That's the reason why you have to be in a life group here. Where you fellowship with other believers. Here, we are not fellowshipping. I hope you know that. In this hall now, we are not fellowshipping, we are worshipping. Jesus selected 12 men to be with him for 3.5 years. That means that they were moving up and down. You must have a journey team. A team that you journey together. And can I say something to you? There's nobody here that doesn't have life group. Nobody. 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 You may not have it with believers, but you have. You have in one joint. You have on Instagram. You have on WhatsApp. You have, you gossip alone with your phone. You have, you know, God doesn't want us to be independent. You know those selfie, those days when we have picture that you must give somebody to take you. You can't afford to have camera. Then two of you want to take a picture. You must look for somebody and say, my brother, can you help me? But right now you have selfie. Selfie. AKA selfish. You even have the stick now. That means that by yourself, you are a one-man riot squad. Taking your picture, say, But you see, you cannot really get even some angles by doing that. Really, God did not create us to be independent. He created us to be interdependent. There are some wisdom that will never come to me unless I connect with Pastor Felix. No wisdom. There are some things God will tell you by fellowshipping with him. There are some things he will tell you, go to that place and get it. And that's why many of us are not getting into that place. I have life group I meet with. I talk to them. We do life together. We don't have to meet sometimes. But you know what? I have an ongoing relationship. He said, now, when they saw the boldness, Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. That Jesus came out. These were fishermen. Peter, John, and James, the inner circle were fishermen. And they understood that these were the people that we are buying fish from now. They didn't go to school. Who gave them this wisdom? Oh, they have been with Jesus. This is what happened. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus is there. We can't be doing life together with Jesus being there constantly and will not get wisdom. And will not tap into the mind of Christ. We'll tap into the mind of Christ. Many of us, the problem is that you don't like to do relationship because why? You have been hurt before. Can I say something to you? To the extent you love is the extent you'll be hurt. And if you say you will not love again, you are even violating the command. And as long as you don't want to be hurt, you enter every relationship very carefully. The moment you see one slight bar, you do like Tom and Jerry. And meanwhile, you need the fellowship of believers to complete you. You need it. You know, I told you that I don't like all night and fasting. I must do it because it's recommended for my heart, for my spirit man. To some extent, I like being alone. But I must connect with people because it's good for my soul. I need relationship for my soul. Whether you like it or when you have malaria, you don't like bitter things. You like injection. Can you just go to the hospital and say, I feel like taking injection, inject me. Except you're on drug. You don't like it. But you must submit yourself. Or else. Same thing. I must submit myself for deep relationship. Many of us like superficial relationship. Love you. We need that deep relationship. And you know what? You'll be hurt. But the question I should ask, why are you always hurt? Small thing they will just do to you, like small. That means that it's not the small thing that happens. There's a fuel inside you. Now when they just put the fire, go on! They just ask for it. You have that short fuse. And as long as you are not connecting with an area of people, there are some things they will not come to you. You will fast, you will pray, you will cry. God will say, you know what, this one is reserved for fellowship. There are many of you have come to, you'll be talking to people, all of a sudden you get wisdom, two of us. Yeah, you get wisdom. You just get wisdom. That's why you go for counseling. That's why you go for counseling. And I've come to tell you, there is no way you can do life alone. There's no way. Have I been hurt? Do you actually believe that you are not hurting me in this church? Say the truth. The only thing I say, but you are a pastor. Pastor, do I have two heads? The problem is that you have not learned how to care for your soul. When you are walking near broken bottles, won't you be careful? But that's your workplace. There's no job that does not have occupational hazard. But why are you doing it? I don't know people that work in the rig. Why do they go there? What if the rig collapses? Mighty ocean. So There is risk in relationship, but it's good for your soul. 12 men betrayed Jesus. They left him. Not only Judas, all of them. One even ran naked. And you know the funniest thing? Jesus washed their feet. All of them, and said, if you want to be great, this is what I want you to do. None of them offered to wash his feet. He said, I do for people they didn't do for me. Now so life be. I do for people they didn't do for me. Now so. Just imagine Jesus sat down that day, said, so now so now be. I'm the word of God. I've been trekking this thing from Genesis. His leg was dirty. So all of them, I wash now. You see, you won't follow me to paradise. You know why people hurt you? They are wounded too. And if you learn to care for your soul, they will throw mud at you. It will just fall off because there's oil over you. When there's oil over somebody, when you put water, the water just drip. That's the anointing upon your life. To smell. Because you have to connect with people to be who God has created you to be. For you to have children, you must connect with a woman. Except you want to go adopt. But you must also connect with people to adopt. So don't tell me you don't like relationship. You like it. It's not that you are scared. But I pray for you today that you'll come into an understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. I also pray that you'll come into what is called true healing in your emotions. There's inner healing this month. I think the 29th or 27th, 28th, 29th of this month. Please take advantage of it. I was the first to encounter inner healing. I knew what it did for me. All of a sudden, my wife would just ask me, so you know the verse. I can't waste my energy. Do you know what type of energy it takes for you to be angry? Use that energy and speak in tongues and see whether you won't get results. As it's brewing, speak in tongues. You will see devils will be running. They will be fleeing. Because the anger has been directed to where it's supposed to be. You want to tap into the mind of Christ, you must be submitted to spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. You know, in this age and time, we have come into a level where we don't respect authority. We actually believe that leadership is our problem. And so when you have one story about leadership, even when they ask you, do you believe, say, no, we are not true now. The question is that, did you ask? The power of one-sided story. You know where it started? Should I tell you where it was heightened? When all of us, people started insulting Jonathan, our former president. And I told them in this church, I said that we have instituted a culture of constantly insulting any person. Listen, all authority comes from God. All authority may not be godly. And if God has obtained authority, if you come against it, you fall. It doesn't matter. He said Nebuchadnezzar, God made him king of kings. Was Nebuchadnezzar godly? No. In that Bible time, Nebuchadnezzar and the country was like the hegemon of the whole world. God allowed it. Same thing. Spiritual leaders are chosen by God. Political leaders are chosen by the people. But the moment they ascend there, respect them. Honor them. Honor them. Honor your fathers and your mother. Your father and your mother, honor. Your father, did he do well? No. He didn't pay your school fees. But is he supposed to pay your school fees? He's supposed to be a channel to pay your school fees. Your ultimate father, every father has a responsibility to show their children the ultimate father. That's my responsibility. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is to show my wife the ultimate father. It's to show my children the ultimate father. So that what if I die before you enter university? What if your father died? Are you keeping malice with a dead man now? He said, oh, I wish my father did not die. I wish that my father did not die. My grandfather died at the age when my father was 16 years. And out of 16 children, he's the only graduate. Everybody has inheritance. May you enter your inheritance. The reason why people are not operating in the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God is that they lack this submission. In this era, we insult fathers, we insult pastors. When pastor's story come, they say, that's what they do. And listen, don't get me wrong. There are people that misuse their authority. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 2, went down with his father, submitted. And I will show you at the level that Jesus submitted. Jesus submitted to the earthly parents. Stayed with them. Messiah. If you are really the Messiah, you know the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And you came to save the world. Your father will be talking to you anyhow. He said, look, daddy. submitted to earthly parents. Huh? They asked Jesus, should we pay tax? He said, give to Caesar, who is Caesar's? Submitted to political authority. Submitted to spiritual authority. Say, John the Baptist baptized me. Messiah. Messiah. Let me put it again. The savior of the whole world. Submitted at these three levels. I caught some young boys and I started telling them that they were shocked. Because many young people, and many of you, we have a problem with submission. A serious problem with submission. Listen, Tiger Woods that came back, did he have a coach or not? It's only most Christians don't have coaches. That means that your coach sometimes will tell you, you meet me here by 5 a.m. Doesn't matter whether you are at this thing, 5 a.m. you'll be there. Sometimes he will tell you, because of this, take about 10 laps around this field. Today we are praising and listening. Most believers do not have coaches. They are their God for themselves. I fear them. Nobody can call you to order. What is this saying? It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, and turn into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, in the final time, Jeremiah 3:15, he's saying the final time. Are we in the last days? Yes. When did the last day start? The last day started in Acts chapter 2, in the last days. We're in the last days. It says, in the final time, I will give you spiritual shepherds of my own heart. I will give you. The reason why you were wounded by pastors is that you gave yourself. You gave yourself. How many of you were in heaven, you told God, he said, you see this man, let me pass through him. Raise up your hand. What is true physically is true spiritually. I may not even be the person. There are fathers here who may have direct, they can talk to you. And we create that thing, the need of fathers and mothers in the body. But you see, if you have no one here who is your pastor, ask God to show you. You may not be here. We may just be your teachers. We may just be your teachers. But you must. He said, I will give you spiritual shepherds out of my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and true understanding. I will give you. And you know what? Those people sometimes will offend you. Because you know why? Most people like comfort and convenience. I told somebody yesterday, I said, if you don't come to church again, I will carry service to your house. I'll bring choir members. Thank God you have big screen. I'll put in my PowerPoint. You will listen. You'll be my congregation. I will preach to you 1 hour. We'll do 2 hour service with you. You'll give me offering and you now give me prophet offering as I'm going. Because I came to meet you. And I will do it to some people. Let me not see you in church again. I will come to your house. I will come with 2 other people. I'll bring one instrumental. I'll just be playing acoustic guitar. Let's be playing.
If they don't follow me, I bring one multimedia person. We have music, media. We use your this thing. If you don't have light, I come with generator to your house. I'm telling you, try it. We will move to you. We'll set up our this thing. Say today church has come. We'll gather people. We'll call other people who did not come to church in your area. We'll join them together. We have service. Shepherds after all, because you know why? Comfort and inconvenience cannot grow you. The more you were 100 level, 200 level, the exam got tougher. When you got to final year, it was the toughest. You needed to write a project. Why do you think it's not like that spiritually? The more you are going to climb, you will hit some things. That means that sometimes we will tell you, you know what? You will do two services because you are going to minister to people. Because you must be challenged. And it takes people to do that. For you to tap into the mind of Christ, I don't need to leave you the same level that you are. Repeating 1 year's experience over and over again. Then you now be saying, before, when I speak in tongues. Before. If I handle scripture, before. No, we need to tell you, come to this class. We need to tell you, you go to the hospital and pray for that person. Why? Because there is something inside of you. And that's that level. And age is no barrier. I used to tell people, we have seen older women have come to School of Supernatural. We send them to go to the street. 70-year-old women. Because on the last day, he said, old men shall dream dreams. What is talking about? When did Moses start his ministry? 80 years. At 85, Caleb said, give me this mountain. Did he not say he will renew your youth? He said so. So everybody can play. Young people will play. Adults will play. Coaches that are sent to you will not leave you the way they met you. We can't pamper you into your destiny. Sometimes we need to drag you like because you are stubborn. We need to convert you from goat to sheep. We need to drag you. I'm not going to say come. I'm not going to come. He said, I'm tired. I won't go for all night. I don't like all night, but I will go. I will have to do it. Nobody wakes me up. Sometimes I hear a tap, wake up. I say, but you know. That's why you should not be watching film when you're supposed to be sleeping. After watching series, they say, come, let's pray. Say, pastor, you know, you will use your head to break the table. I will leave you. Yeah, because you must grow. You must grow. When a child is not growing physically, the parents are bothered. Same thing, when you are not growing spiritually, your pastors. Because we are not pastoring your flesh alone. We are pastoring you tridimensionally. And the growth must start from your spirit, man. You can't afford to only come to church. Let me calculate for you. If you come to church every Sunday for 2 hours, you have just been in church for 1 year for less than 1 week. 1 week is 168 hours. 2 hours every Sunday is 104 hours. Then you expect not to be fearful. You expect to have faith. When they are teaching you for 1 hour now, you are bending to the right, you are bending to the left, you are bending to the right, you are trafficking, you are doing like this, you are doing like this. You need to come and sit down 6 hours. You must be trained in righteousness. Righteousness. So that when they are pushing you. Life is pushing you. You are pushing back and you are pushing hard. Rise up on your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 07069-696499. or visit our website at www.fremfoundationng.org.